Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, hi, everybody. Welcome back to CUTV News Radio. Nice to have you with us. We are delighted because one of our favorite guests is back with us today. Hopefully, you've heard her on these broadcasts before. She's a remarkable lady. Her name is Theodora Unikin-Venema. She is a licensed real estate broker, an international real estate investment specialist based in Orlando, Florida, but she travels the world. She's on the line with us today to continue our series of conversations with her. She's in Amsterdam, by the way. She is a licensed real estate broker and the founder of Downtown Brokers, which is a full-service boutique real estate brokerage firm, successfully investing in Florida real estate now for over 30 years. What she does is help foreign investors purchase property here in the United States. Those who have no idea, you know, what they have to go through to buy property, she is here to help them, and she knows. She speaks their language. She was born in the Netherlands. She has remarkable degrees. If you look at her background, she has degrees from the Groningen University of Law in the Netherlands. She has a foreign lawyer program degree from the University of Florida School of Law in Gainesville. She also has a special certification as a foreign attorney from Emory University School of Law in Atlanta, and she's a member of the board, the law in The Hague, the Netherlands, the Bar Association, the American Bar Association, the Florida Bar Association, the International Bar Association in London, and the Pacific Rim Lawyers Association in Seoul. She has so many degrees and so many credits to her, it's amazing. But she does remarkable things for the people who come to help get her help, especially foreign investors who really are looking for help buying, you know, buying property here. She speaks their language. She speaks French, Dutch, German, and English as well. And, you know, the people she helps come from the Netherlands. They come from Germany. They come from England. And she's here to help them. And it's just an absolute delight to have her back with us. We've been talking with her about her career and about how she helps people, especially clients from the Netherlands and Luxembourg, Germany, things like that. So let's welcome Theodora back on the line with us today. Theodora, gee whiz, it's such a pleasure to have you back with us. How are you today? And you're in Amsterdam. What's it like in Amsterdam today? Tell me about that. What's the weather like over there?
Well, it's a bit chilly. It's a bit chilly and windy. We had a storm going on. And,
really?
Yeah, there it is. Rain, I think the rain just passed. I saw a rainbow over the horizon. So all is good, Jeff.
Well, good. Look, I know you'll be coming home soon. We're anxious to have you come back to talk to us, but it's a real treat to be able to talk to you. You sound like you're next door almost. I want to look back at some of your background and explore that. We talked to you about many aspects of your life and your career. But let me just ask you, when you immigrated from the Netherlands when you were 23 years old and were determined to pursue the American dream, would you advise individuals to start following their dreams at a young age just like you did? How would you answer that?
Well, Doug, I would say as soon as you have a dream, go for it. Remember, Walt Disney did the same. His famous statement was, if you can dream it, you can do it. So what is there to stop you? Well, of course, society, because reality is that the dream might not fit the expectation others have or society has of you. It takes a determined mind to go against tradition. It takes real conviction on your part, and it might not make everyone around you happy nor supportive, which, of course, adds to the endeavor. Mostly successful entrepreneurs, as you know, start all by themselves on their own. They work through the pitfalls and get stronger along the way, even more determined to succeed. We can think of big names like Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg, even Thomas Edison, who invented the light bulb that we all use today, or Amelia Earhart, who traveled around the world in an airplane.
That's true. Very true. I'm intrigued to know, when you were a young woman studying law in the Netherlands, why were you so intrigued by life in the United States at that point and having dreams to come here? What? Why was that?
Well, the amazing part is when you or anybody travels in the Netherlands, the Dutch love America. Everyone loves
mm-hmm.
America here. And in fact, we have a very long relationship with America. In 1672, John Adams came to get money from the Netherlands to help America before it was even the United States of America. His home is still in Amsterdam, and of course, Americans visit his home when they visit Amsterdam. So if you walk around Amsterdam, there are lots of shops selling American T-shirts with the New York on it or the Big Apple. And everybody wears jeans. Who would know it? American jeans. And they pay a lot of money for it. A lot. Way more than we pay in Orlando, at least. So when my Dutch clients visit Amsterdam, visit America, travel from Amsterdam, they stock up on jeans. And they buy them way cheaper than they ever have to in the Netherlands. It pays for the visit to America. And, of course, when you walk through the Kalverstraat, what do you see? The American store. It's called that, the American store, with all
right.
things American. Or what we in the Netherlands think should look American, or we think it's American. Famous American shoes and, of course, Michael Jackson to Tiger Woods are all admired by the Dutch. We follow them. We follow their whereabouts, and Dutch racing is big. Actually, we have the Formula One coming up soon in the Netherlands, and Daytona racing is a big hit for the Dutch. They fill the airplanes to America because, of course, Max Verstappen, you may have heard that name, is on top of the world, and he's the Dutch kid, the famous Dutch race car driver in America right now.
Yep.
And the Dutch
yep.
and the world. The Dutch love Indianapolis. You got Arie Luyendijk, may have heard that name, Jan Lammers.
Yep.
Actually, we just did a TV interview with Jan Lammers. We get the Dutch Formula One racing geared up here, and the Dutch just love American racing. They love American space. So when we lost the last space shuttle, the Dutch stepped in, and pretty much European Space Agency got involved, and guess what? We're back going to the moon. What a difference a day makes, right?
Isn't that the truth?
So no matter.
I was going to ask you about your study of law. You focused on law in the Netherlands. I mean, your degrees are incredible. But while you were studying law, was it your goal to try and come to the United States at that point, or were you going to practice law at your home in the Netherlands?
No. When I was going to school, I didn't think farther than school. I was just.
Yeah.
A person gets out of high school in the Netherlands and you choose a direction. Well, it's law, it's medicine, it's mechanical things or nursing or whatever. Well, the family tradition was law, so I went into law, not thinking of what I would do with that later. So as I was clearing law school and coming towards the end, I then decided, well, what am I going to do? Really, am I going to practice law? And I was looking to Dad. Dad went from law into business. His brother actually was going to school in Indianapolis Law School back in the World War II days. Yes, he had to travel by cargo liner in a boat, yes, on rough oceans. So he was pretty determined. He spent some time in Indianapolis and came back, became a professor in law, in Anglo-American law. Didn't quite want to do that either. So the most I was wanting to do is do like Dad did and go into business. Well, what was I going to do in business in my home country? Didn't quite make that complete, so I decided I'm going to go look out and see what I can do in America. That's how I came to America. Of course, I had to set it up for about a year, get immigration papers, and where was I going? And then the University of Florida offered me an opportunity in their tax department. Now, I had specialized in tax in the Netherlands, And that was the opportunity I took.
Wow.
Now what? Came to America.
I was going to ask you why you came to Florida, and that kind of answers the question. What, by the way, what did your dad think when you picked up and flew here? You were 23 years old, by yourself, and came to the U.S. What did your folks have to say about it? Were they in favor of it, or what?
Not particularly, but they figured, okay, let her ride for an hour, a year, a couple months, whatever it is. Let her spend some time elsewhere because I had really studied hard. I had 4 specializations, criminal law, tax law, international law, and real estate law. And with all of that, I decided, well, you know, I'll take a year and look out what I really want to do. And so in that frame of mind, they let me go and thought, well, that's pretty good. Go see. You've got plenty of time. You're so young. You can decide whatever you want to do later. Well, of course, in my mind, I was thinking business. Well, let me see, business in America, because a lot of Dutch corporations are settled down and hunkered down in America. I come to find out that's because the tax treaty between the USA and the Netherlands, investment in America. That's what I decided. That's what I'm going to look for and see whether I can make that happen in that year that I had planned to be in Florida. And then, of course, I get involved with one of the trustees from the law school, Jack Byerly, and he invites me to start working with him. And that did it. That triggered me on my road into American business.
And what was he? What was he doing? What business was he in?
He was a trustee. Yeah, it's interesting. So he was a trustee of the University of Florida. That's how I got acquainted with him, because Dean Hunt introduced us. And Jack said, why don't you come work with me, live with the family, and we travel together, work together, and just move in with us. So I took the Greyhound bus through Zephyr Hills, because I had no car, I had nothing, my backpack on my back, and I went by the bus, the Greyhound bus through Zephyr Hills, had to make a change over there into Tampa, and then live with the family. And I was teaching his son, who is now a surgeon in Africa, German. I was running every morning with Tiffy, his wife, on the track, which I'd never done before. But, you know, what could it hurt, possibly? I owned sneakers, after all. And then I went to work with Jack. And he introduced that international business concept. We traveled the world, and he had his business appointments here and there in Germany and the islands and all places of the world. And that got it going.
You know, that's an amazing story. It's really amazing how a little twist like that can change your whole life's direction, because that's really what happened in your case. Obviously, you're a very, very bright lady, you know, with the degrees you have behind you and the work you've done, no question about that. At what point did real estate become something that really intrigued you? Was he in that business?
No, not at all. In fact, when I picked up on, this is what I was looking for in America, the American dream. Now, how do I get that going? I'm by myself. I have nothing, nobody to depend on. I have to go through law school in America, because otherwise I cannot fend for myself nor for my clients. So I picked up the pace and continued on to UF, continued after that at Emory, because I got an even bigger international job with Arnold Golden Greger than Governor Arnell from Georgia, and that really put me in my position. I finished that, opened my shop, and started advising clients. Now, years later, I get into the real estate aspect, because those foreign corporations were all doing business in America, but also buying real estate. I say, well, while I'm at it, I'm going to get a real estate license. So that happened about 8 years later.
And you decided then you were obviously in the Atlanta area. You went back to Florida, to Orlando, to open this real estate firm.
Yep.
Is that correct? Is that how it worked?
Yep. Because
amazing.
Atlanta was a bigger environment, and I chose Orlando as the center of the universe where all the investment comes, as well as the tourists and all that they want to do in around Florida. And I picked Orlando.
There's a huge interest in purchasing land in Florida by Europeans, and that's why they come to you. I mean, your clients, as I pointed out, they come from the Netherlands, which is where you're from, Luxembourg, Germany, I mean, France, all over there. But there's a real fascination with the state of Florida. Why is that?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I'm looking out the window here. It's freezing cold. That's number one problem. So
okay.
The Dutch want sunshine, palm trees, and oceans. Okay, well,
right.
Florida's next. Then Disney is a nice excuse. That will really get it going because as Disney keeps expanding, so does Florida and especially Orlando. And I figured I'd pick Orlando because that way I can do business in Naples, Jacksonville, Miami, Tampa, you name it, and Orlando. And if they want to really grow fast in and around Orlando, 2.5 million people, and the land to support it, that's where they usually go. And then Daytona with the race, and we brought it up before, that triggers them coming. And the Dutch love to expand their business into America. And yes, first they think sun, ocean, and palm trees. Well, that misses our Atlanta. And it takes for Orlando. Therefore, Orlando is the spot.
So tell me how you help foreign investors who want to consider purchasing land. What do they have to know that, you know, that number one, they're not prepared for? What are the key things they have to know and the way you help them? Because you're one of the rare ones in this field. There aren't many like you with your background and your knowledge in this whole field of law and then real estate about buying property in this country. Tell me a little bit about how you hold their hands and what you actually do for them.
Well, you're saying it, holding their hands. So I am unlike any other person, any other realtor, any other lawyer. I have a dream team in Orlando, and the dream team consists of a foreign lawyer, a foreign notary, a foreign CPA, and me as the foreign real estate person. And that makes the click because my foreign investors are from that other place, as are my team members. So whatever it is we need along the way, I can direct what it is that we need. After all, I have done all this by myself when I didn't have that support, so I'm their life coach. I become their life coach. They want to invest in America. Yes. So let's start at the beginning. Actually, let's start before the beginning. How much time do you want to spend in America? What do you want to spend it doing? Do you want to still spend time in your business in Europe or not? And maybe Johnny, little Johnny, wants to look at the future in America as well. He's now maybe 15, going to school. Maybe he wants to go to college in America. So I tackle all the issues. One by one. They put all the wishes on the table, and I sort it out. And I park the legal issues with Nancy, the CPA issues with my Danish CPA, Katie, and I address all the issues that come to pass.
Is it hard for people from foreign countries like the Netherlands or Germany to purchase land in Florida? Are there hurdles they have to jump that Americans don't have to? How do you answer that?
No. They can purchase it. They can even buy it off the web, and they can continue from there. However, that would not be wise because the Dutch can take advantage of great tax provisions that the Americans made for them when they invest in America. If Dutch invest in America and they set up a business investing in America, then they get great tax advantages. And with that, it takes them away from the Dutch tax system, takes them out of the Dutch tax system, which is very advantageous for them in itself. Outside of real estate being up, down, or sideways, it is that they want to do. So they can buy it. If they do it themselves, they're going to go the wrong way, and they're still under the Dutch tax treaty and the Dutch tax laws. That is the big key. The big key is to get them under the American tax system, which is way more beneficial. It promotes entrepreneurism, and it protects them.
Well, as I understand, I mean, that's a huge, important thing, as you're pointing out. But the foreign investors do have a big need for coaching because everything is different from them. It's different from what they're used to, different income strategy, tax structures different, cultures different, all sorts of different expectations and aspirations. There's no question they need someone like you to hold their hand and make it a successful adventure for them. And that's what you do. Which is, you know.
And especially, like you say, the laws are different, but even as simple as the role of the real estate broker. In the Netherlands, the real estate broker, you hire him, you pay for him. Well, if they come and buy here, it's the listing agent that buys and pays all the brokers.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't know that until you tell them that. They would... If the Dutch just go here, visit, they're at Daytona, they see a house, they call that listing agent, and they say, can we buy it? Well, they're talking to the wrong party. They're talking to the listing agent, the ones that sell it for the highest price. What they need is somebody to come up for their interest. That is something you need to educate them in.
You know, there's another thing that comes to mind is the value of the dollar. How does European money, whether it's, you know, the money from Germany or the Netherlands or wherever, mm-hmm. how does it go, you know, how does it hold up against the dollar here? Is it cheaper for them to buy property in the United States than it is, you know, in their own home country now? I'm not really
way
up
cheaper.
On the, you know, the conversion rate right now. How do you answer that?
They would buy twice as much house here in Florida than they would back home. Plus, in addition,
wow.
their euro buys even more because the euro is stronger than the dollar. So with their euro, they're not paying $200 for the house. They're paying $150,000 for the house.
Wow.
In addition
Very
to the fact that a three-bedroom and two-bath home in the Netherlands will cost you $500,000. In Florida, you don't pay $200 or $250 or $300, depending how fancy you want it. Half the price.
That's very interesting. No kidding.
And it's the same goes with their businesses. Businesses, same thing. The labor costs are extremely high in the Netherlands. Not so in Florida. Doesn't even compare. It's less than half.
Mm. Do you help companies establish a presence in the United States? I'm not talking about buying a house. I'm talking about opening a business here. How about that?
Mostly what I do is opening businesses here, opening a subsidiary in America for them, opening a new shop for them in America, and opening a business period for them here in America. That's what I do, mostly.
There are so many things that you do. I know one of the things is you talk about how not to invest in America. That's a whole different topic, isn't it? You're very well-versed on that.
We touched on
it
already.
Tell me about that.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Not to buy in America. So don't go take an airplane from Amsterdam to America, go to Daytona, go call on the sign in the yard, and tell them you're going to buy it. Because the first thing that goes wrong, you pay too much. The second thing that goes wrong, you don't know that you need to do an inspection, because that works differently over there. And the third thing is you need your own broker. And that listing agent is going to pay for that broker. Three little items that you wouldn't know unless somebody told you.
Wow. This
and
is,
then,
this is what...
God forbid, something happens. What people do in the Netherlands, they put it in his and hers name. Okay. Well, what do you think? Somebody dies, and now we have this thing stuck in probate. They've never heard of such a thing. So what I do... is I set them up in a trust, a charity, or a corporation or an LLC. And that way they're protected. God forbid somebody dies. In Florida, there is no inheritance tax to amount to anything, unless you are in the average of Carl Zuckerman. That's one thing. In the Netherlands, it's extremely high. So if you put that operation in entirety in a corporation, and you already predetermined how you wish to have it, or revocable trust, then you have it made. Life goes on. And you don't get caught in the between a rock and a hard place if somebody, God forbid, dies.
Are there any specific instances of where you've really been able to save somebody a tremendous amount of money and, you know, headaches because of your knowledge of the laws here in the U.S. compared to theirs in the Netherlands, which, you know, they are totally unfamiliar with here? I'm sure you've had many, many deals. I just wondered if there are any specific one that comes to mind that stands out in your background?
Absolutely.
Give me an idea.
It is exactly what I said about the estate tax. This lady was, husband died, a very famous person in the Netherlands. Husband dies, here she is, two names on the title in America, two names on the bank account, and not and or, but both. Well, her husband died. She had no access. Everything went into probate. It cost her an enormous amount of money until I put our attorney on it, tried to unravel it, and get her back on course. And that's exactly what happened. It's something they don't expect. And it's easy to take care of it beforehand because you need to make sure that you don't end up in probate with a foreign property in a foreign country where you have no access. You cannot pay the bills because there's two needed. Two signatures on the accounts, two signatures on the home, two signatures on the title. You're stuck. You can't pay the mortgage. You can't pay the bank account. You can't pay the house. You can't take care of the light bill. And all things crumble and go to hell in a handbasket.
Wow.
And that's what I do. I solve things. I fix things. And, of course, when people start with me in the beginning, I make sure it never happens.
Well, it's easy to see why you. Yeah, it's easy to see why you are such a beneficial presence in any deal that a foreigner would get involved in. By the way, do you ever help an American buy property in the Netherlands? Does that ever happen?
Yes, I do. Yes, I
do. You
do, because the reverse is true there. Americans can very advantageously buy the Netherlands with, again, the reverse tax benefits. The same way over there for an American corporation, if and when handled correctly. There's the other rule book. You know, you need to handle it within the tax code, and you get great benefits and great advantages. I have several companies in Amsterdam in a tax-free zone that do business all over the world through Amsterdam because Amsterdam offers them that opportunity. They ship cheap. They ship with benefits from the European Union, and they come out like shining like roses.
Goodness. What a story. What a story. I love talking to you, Theodora. Our guest is Theodora Unikin-Venema. Her firm is Downtown Brokers. She's based in Orlando. And if you want more information, goodness gracious, go to her website, downtownbrokers.com. It's that simple to find, and you'll learn all about the various services that Theodora provides. It's such a treat to talk to you, Theodora. You join us quite frequently, and I know you were the last week. You're here again this week, and we're going to be talking to you soon again. Thank you for taking the time out of your schedule all the way from Amsterdam. What time is it in Amsterdam right now, by the way?
Well, I'll have a look. Right now it is 18:28, as in 6:28 in the evening.
Six in the evening. Okay, and it is a little after 12 here in the U.S. Thank you, my dear. We'll talk again soon, okay? Thanks for being with us. Appreciate
it.
Take care.
Thank you, Doug. My pleasure.
You're welcome. That's it. Our guest, Theodora Unikin-Venema. She's from Downtown Brokers in Orlando, Florida. Okay. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to CUTV News Radio. If you want to learn more about our programming or perhaps be considered for a future show, visit us on the web at www.cutvnews.com. And if you enjoyed listening to today's show, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher and be sure to write a review. Thanks for listening, and from all of us at CUTV News Radio, we hope you have a productive and inspired day.
Take care of yourself, everybody. I'm Doug Llewellyn. See you next time here on CUTV News Radio. Till then, take care of yourself and have a great day.